Blog Talk Radio.
Let's go. Welcome to the war room. We got Dez,
Mama,
Kim, Jimmy, PJ, B. Austin, the hot block commander.
How you wanna end a 1 or 2 hour show to get the brain running with the premise to talk sports on a national level? Bold with the topic, sort of like the rubber. When it's game time, they like the Fab Five during prime time. Sports conglomerates speak their minds a little bit. For sports medicine, sports veterans and greats. The 4 for 26, so the war in Kuwait. It's the war room with five knights at the round table. Five Philly guys, diversified and educated.
Uh-huh, fellas, I think our theme song, I think that might be a body bag. But anyway, what's up, sports fans and ladies that just like to hear our voices? Welcome back to your favorite show. You are once again live in the War Room, brought to you by War Room Sports. I'm Devin McMillan, and I'm joined by my partner, Jimmy the Blueprint Williams, and we also got a special guest host with us today, Frank Santos of sports-kings.com. Don't forget the dash. What's up, Frank?
Not much. You know, I was hoping Sanaa Lathan would have got my invitation to the Caesar's Palace, but she must not been listening to the show.
No doubt. She might be out there listening. But look, we got a very good rundown for you guys today, so grab your popcorn and get comfy. But before you do, make sure you join us right now in the JW Philly Realty chat room at blogtalkradio.com/thewarroom, or join us on Facebook or Twitter at War Room Sports to get into the conversations. You can also call us. You can get directly with us when we open up the Digital Extreme Tech Hotline at 323-410-0012. Also, be sure to leave yourself a reminder to check out some of our partner shows during the week. Make sure you check out Roy and Chris of the Broad Street Line every Tuesday at 6 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio. And check the listings for Brandon and Daniel on Sports Track Radio. These guys are now on the iHeartRadio Network. And in addition, don't forget to catch us in syndication 3 times on Fridays on newvibradio.com at 7 a.m., 1 p.m., and 7 p.m. Eastern Time, and on Sundays and Tuesdays at 3 p.m. Eastern Time on fatsradio.com. That's fats with a P-H, ends with a Z, radio.com. But what's good, fellas? Frank, we heard you were shacked in a fool this week in Vegas. How'd that go?
Well, not well for my bank account, but pretty well on the fun scale there. Yo, is there anywhere you guys don't have a radio show? You guys are on, like, everywhere.
No, man, we're trying to take over the globe. We're trying to take over the globe, man. We're trying to take Frank, Sports Kings with us, man.
So that means, Frank, that means that you got consent from everyone while out there, right?
Oh, yeah.
we wouldn't want to hear any Ben Roethlisberger stories.
No Jameis Winston.
No Jameis Winston. Or Kobe Bryant.
I'll put it that way. No bodyguard.
How about this? We can name about good 30 athletes that fit that, which is sad to say. Anyway, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Cool, we came back. Or you know, that might be the young ladies trying to get a check. So, I mean, we're not going to condemn everybody. All right, man. But glad you had fun out there. I love that place myself. I try to get some people, you know, everybody is on the Miami kick. Like, every time they travel, they got to go to Miami. Try to get some people to go the other way sometimes. It's just as fun out in Vegas. Might be a little better if you're not, you know, if you don't need the beach atmosphere.
It's definitely better.
No, I personally think so myself. Like, you know, I'm chubby now, so I don't need a beach atmosphere. I'm walking around with other diesel dudes with no shirts on and people driving Lamborghinis. I don't need to be in that atmosphere, you know what I'm saying?
Unless you go the hottest day of the year, then it's kind of, like, uncomfortable, you know?
Yeah, because, Jimmy, that time we were out there, it was like 115 degrees, and for some reason we walked from Caesar's Palace all the way to the Luxor to get Chris Angel tickets.
Yeah,
why we didn't just
did.
Catch the bus, I don't understand. But
we
look,
know how we
I'm
got
let
back,
everybody
right?
know.
We back. we
oh, yeah,
back.
We caught it back. That's not a two-way trip. That's not even a one-way
Chris
trip.
Chris Angel was the devil, right. By the way. Side note.
He is. Him and David Blaine, the devil's sons, but... We're going to let everybody know what happened this week while y'all were on the grind. Of course, while y'all were on the grind is brought to you by DirecTV. If you'd like a better TV experience than cable has to offer, including that NFL Sunday ticket, go to our website, warroomsports.com, click on the DirecTV logo, and order yourself a better TV experience at a discounted War Room Sports sign-up rate. If you call yourself a sports fan, then you got to have DirecTV. Fellas, News from the wire this week, Evelyn Lozada of Basketball Wives fame. She's never actually been a basketball wife. She had a brief stint as a football wife. She was a, I guess she was a basketball. She has kids. Does she have a kid with a, what's the broke dude's name? Antoine Walker? Is she a basketball baby mama? I don't know if she's a basketball baby mama. I just know they were engaged at one time.
That she's like trying to cover all the sports at this point, right?
Yeah,
she's making it brown.
Now, she's a baseball baby mama. Well, to be, because she's supposedly knocked up by Carl Crawford. What do you guys think of that? Like you said, Jimmy, she's making her rounds. What's up with Evelyn? And what's up with dudes not knowing better from seeing her before?
Yeah, I guess they don't care, man. I mean, I don't care. I mean, you know, maybe, who knows, man? Maybe she can cook or something, man. I mean, you know, who knows what it is. Like, maybe she only putting out them, she only putting out the Marion Smalley plates, and, you know. But,
Insider.
Like, insider, yeah, that's insider. But, yo, it's crazy. When I saw that, I was like, I had to read twice, like, damn. Like, but I guess they just don't care. When you get a certain level, we were talking about this the other day, right? When we were talking about, Eddie Murphy's wife and then Babyface and Michael Strahan, that little, like, that little thing
they
got going on there. With
swap wives and all that kind
of
stuff.
Yeah, they all just swap wives. Like, I guess at some point, you know, when you get to a certain tax bracket, it doesn't matter.
Well, definitely, yeah, because I just looked that up. It just lists her as dating Antoine Walker. I thought maybe at one point they were engaged, but, of course, she married Chad Johnson. She was Mrs. Ocho Cinco for a little while until he headbutted her. So now she's having a baby with Carl Crawford, who, of course, has a 7-year, $142 million contract. So I think Evelyn's finally made it.
Are you trying to insinuate that the 7-year, $142 million contract is playing a role in this relationship?
I think it's playing a role in hell yeah. I was about to say whether or not she decides, you know, she wants to have this child or not. You know, I don't know if that's a thought in her mind, but 7 years, $142 million basically means she's made it, because with Antoine Walker, I don't think there were any children, so, and he never married her, so there was no alimony, there was no child support. Chad Johnson, it happened so fast, I'm not sure if you can get alimony from that situation, but if she does, she didn't put in enough time to get that much. But now, at least for the next 18 years, she'll be set. That's just how it is.
That's a check.
All right.
Man.
Check. All right. So, story we talked about a few weeks ago, Cameron Rodriguez, the college basketball player who was one of 8 people to hit the half-court shot at a Oklahoma City Thunder game to win $20,000. He's back in the news because, you guys know, originally he wasn't allowed to take the money because he is a student athlete, even though he was only on partial scholarship. Well, the NCAA made a ruling that he can indeed keep the money because of his university's appeal. They actually tried to help him out. He can keep the money, but it will go towards a scholarship. So what do you guys think about that?
Now, he said initially that he didn't even want the money, right?
He said the money wasn't important because he loved basketball, and, you know, he loved that more than $20,000 could do for
him. Well, first of all, the first thing I got to say is,
well, we don't believe you. You need more people.
If you believe that, you believe that Marion made that right. Let me stop. No, anyway, the thing is, this story is terrible. It makes the NCAA look bad. Now, at the end of the day, they realize that and let him keep the money. But, you know, come on, cuz. Like, if you're a college student, anybody who's listening that's been to college and is a college student, do you know what $20,000 can do to you as a student? So that's life-changing money, yo. I mean,
well, I went to school. People
would
drop out of school for $20,000.
Yo, who are you telling? But think about the credit card debt you racked up. Just, you know what I'm saying? Like, yo.
You're talking about credit card debt, though. I went on about 2 cruises that I haven't paid for yet.
Are you still paying for them?
Credit cards. No, I'm I guess I'm incriminating myself a little bit, but no, that got taken care of. That's college debt. That don't count unless it's Sally Mae.
Oh, okay,
debt.
I got you. Dog,
yeah,
let me tell you something
that,
real
that
quick,
don't
yo.
Count.
Yo,
got
yo,
yo, shout to Discover Card. Shout to Discover Card who gave me $5,000, and I didn't even have a job. And I spent every penny. You know what I'm saying? But so you talk about a lucky shot for one. Like, so he actually earned this money. Not that it's earning it by making a shot, but you got lucky. So, I mean, this story, I guess you could say has a happy ending, but, you know, the initial way they responded, you know, it also shows how you got to flex your muscle with social media and put the word out there, get these stories out there so you can get to keep your bread.
Yeah, I mean, all respect to Cameron Rodriguez, I mean, but I don't want to call the dude a liar, but he's a liar. There is no way he was, if they denied him that application, that he was not dropping out, like quitting the basketball team, making them cut that check.
See, I don't know, like, his family's financial status or anything, because he is a partial scholarship student. I don't know if partial, in his case, is half, you know, a quarter of his tuition. I don't know what that entails. But I guess,
you know, how many
packs
of ramen noodles you can buy with 20 grand?
I guess the story does have somewhat of a happy ending, because even if he can't go out and buy things that a college student would buy, at least, you know, he has $20,000 toward his education. I take that back. That's corny. College students want to go out and buy Jordans and all kinds of crazy stuff. But if he likes it,
he might have got
I love it. It's better than nothing. It's better than
nothing.
Yeah,
I mean, Evelyn might have been calling him if, you know, if he could use the $20,000
for She worked her way up past that, Frank. She's on a different level right now. She's looking for a hockey player.
I mean, he is like
Throw him again, but watch out.
I know, right? All right, so another story, money related. Michael Jordan's shoes that he wore in his famous, infamous, at this point, flu game, they were auctioned off, and they sold for $104,765. Two questions for you guys. We'll start with this one. First of all, if you own these shoes, and they were autographed by Michael Jordan, you know, the guy had them sitting around for the last however many years. I forgot when that game actually was, maybe like 96 or something. If you own these shoes, would you sell them? Or would that just be something that you keep?
Oh, absolutely.
I don't know if I can even ask you, Jimmy, because you probably, if he would have tossed you his shoes, you probably would have thrown them back at him the way you feel.
I'd have thrown them first.
About
first all, let's get something straight. He didn't have the flu. That's the one thing, right? He wasn't sick. That was all put together by Gatorade and Nike.
Phil Knight.
The second thing is, I don't want his smelly-ass shoes. I mean, at the end of the day, I guess the guy's going to say, listen, I'm going to take this $100,000 and I'm going to donate it to charity. Everybody's saying it's charity. I'm going to give a piece of this to charity, probably like $7. But at the end of the day, man, like, you know, that was a nice come-up. He got $100,000 for some smelly sneaks. Like, you can't beat that. But, I mean, I wouldn't have held on to him, man.
Man, I think fast enough.
You'd have held on to him,
sure.
Right?
No, oh, okay. I wouldn't even have held on for him this long. I would have sold him next day.
Yeah. I understand where you're going, sure. Because me, you know, in my life since that time, since like 96, 90, it was actually game five of the 97 NBA Finals. Since 97, you know, I've had some problems in my life. There's no way I'm going to be sitting here with a piece of clothing that Michael Jordan wore in some famous Michael Jordan game, and I would have been able to last this many years before auctioning those bad boys off. So, I probably would have gotten significantly less money than he ended up getting, you know, because every stuff like this appreciates over time. But, I don't know if I would have been able to hold off, you know.
I mean, that was a big gamble on his part with, you know, all the athletes, especially Michael Jordan, you know.
All right, now.
Gambling problems and all that. You know, Mike might have bought him back from him eventually.
We had a comment on Facebook. Lamont said that it's his only gear that wasn't weak. You got to hold on to them as proof. you all know that Michael Jordan is an atrocious dresser. So, you know, you may have to hold on to show the people that, you know.
And I know this, like, really has nothing to do with the auction or anything, but those particular pair of Jordans, I actually own a pair of them. Well, you know me, I don't repurchase Jordans. I don't wear sneakers that much anymore. So I still got the ones I had, like, in 97, 98. Those are the worst Jordans ever to try to play ball in. because the back of them, I don't know, it feels like it's trying to rip the Achilles off of your foot. Like, I don't understand how he played. Seriously. if you play in those, your foot is just going to be painful. So I don't know. He probably got his specially made, though.
We also got a question on Facebook from Lamont again. He says, do the shoes depreciate in value if you clean them off?
Probably. They probably have to be in the same condition. He probably had to put them in like a case or something so they couldn't get dusty, but they keep the same amount of dirt that they had on them when he took them off. Yeah, I would think if you cleaned them, especially since he did autograph them. You mess around and wipe
only
the,
in America,
the signature
only
off
in
by
America.
Mistake.
Only in America. Yeah, you can get rich off somebody's sweaty sneaks. Like, not that you're being rich, not just you're rich from that, but yeah, you can get six figures from sweaty sneaks.
Yeah, I've seen LeBron James take off his headband and just toss it into the crowd and watch people fight over it. That's nasty.
My favorite part of the story, did you guys see how he got the sneakers? So, like, he knew Michael Jordan had a road game in Utah earlier in the season, and Michael Jordan, he fetched Michael Jordan applesauce and graham crackers.
Oh, yeah.
So then during the playoff game, he knew that Michael Jordan's favorite food was applesauce and graham crackers, so he had it waiting for him in the locker room.
He turned into a lackey so he can – that was –
He said, yes, sir. Yes, sir, man.
That was a $104,000 cup of applesauce or bowl applesauce, whatever he did. So, can't be mad at him. All right, so last thing that happened this week while you guys were on the ground, Bama's kicker, the one who missed the 57-yard field goal against Auburn that changed the whole face of college football this season, he got a letter of encouragement from former President George W. Bush. He actually this is a handwritten letter. So, you guys, what do you think of this? I'll look for the actual verbiage on the letter because I can't really read
I don't
his
know,
writing,
is that, like,
so I got
to
find.
Does it lift your spirits up to get a like letter from W? Like, what does it actually do for you? I mean, can you hold on to that and get $100,000 in a couple of, like, what does that actually do for you? Like,
probably.
At the end of the day, yo, you blew it. You blew it.
I don't know. I think it's pretty cool, though. You know, it's a former president. No matter what your politics are, I'd hang out with any former president, especially W. He looked like he's a cool dude. Like, I'm not really a beer drinker, but it looked like he'd be drunk. We'd be watching football or baseball or something. And, yeah, he probably would get into some type of trouble.
I'm going to ask you a question, too, Frank. Any president, living or dead, who would you want to hang out with, any of the presidents?
Easy. JFK. Why would you not want to spend a day with JFK?
That's the easy answer. Everybody's going to go JFK. What'd you say, Dad? JFK as well?
JFK going to get you laid.
You don't think the rest of them dudes did the same thing? It just wasn't out and open with it?
Yeah, but you got to go with the ones that you know. So it got to be the JFK, Clinton, or if you're
in
the sports, you're going to want to hang with W.
That's true. Abe Lincoln used to hang with little boys, so you don't want to, like, you know. Anyway.
Yeah. Might be Bill Clinton. I mean, Bill Clinton's a good one.
I
want to hang with Bill Clinton.
I mean, what about Clinton, though? What about Clinton?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. It got to be the JFK, Clinton. And like I said, if you're a sports fan, maybe W. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that might have been
your
a little
basketball head,
Bill
maybe
Clinton
Obama
by just saying JFK unanimous.
Yeah,
what about
he'd be my first choice.
What about Barry Sweatho, man? I mean, excuse me, Barack Obama, because he's a hoops head. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, that would actually be cool if I was still in shape because we can go out and play. But, you know, right now, I'd resort to hacking the dude, and I'd probably get shot by the Secret Service. So I'm pretty sure you can't file Obama hard.
Speaking of that,
I can't
slap
my feet at this age.
Yeah, you try to give Obama one of those Matt Barnes styles, and all of a sudden you're being escorted out.
Loretta Fuddy, by the way, for those who know who Loretta Fuddy is, he's the one that made it official that Obama was born in the U.S., but he passed away in a plane accident suspiciously today. But that's either here nor there. That's for my conspiracy theorists out there.
Olivia Pope's daddy did that?
Olivia Pope, she has something to do with that, too. You know what I mean? Lamont says he hang out with William Taft just because nobody else is going to pick William Taft to hang out with.
William Taft,
one of the biggest yam farmers in history, though.
All right, who would you not want to hang out with, though? Jimmy Carter?
He looks boring as hell. Richard Nixon, probably. I wouldn't want to hang out with Nixon, yo.
Nah, you probably
Who's the president that died? Wasn't there a president that died in the bathtub, in his own bathtub? pretty sure it was, I want to say it was Ulysses Grant, but I could be wrong. I wouldn't want to hang out with him. I don't want to hang out with anybody stupid enough to die in their own bathtub.
Yeah,
that's a general rule, but.
All right, I really can't make out this letter, but I think it says Dear Cade. It says Dear Cade, number 43, like the guy doesn't know his own number. Come on, George. Come on, George, you're just perpetuating the myth. Come on. He said life, I think it says life has its setbacks, I know, with an exclamation point. However, you will be a stronger human with time. Damn, a stronger human. That wasn't that serious. It says, It says, I wish you all the best. Sincerely, I can't make out the signature.
Yo, if he really cared about this kicker, he would have said, you need to lay off the apple pies and start eating more applesauce. Do you see that kicker?
With the president question, Naran said he would hang out with Bush 1. I don't know why. Like, what kind of fun would Bush 1 have?
Why
would
hang out with Bush 1?
Like, I don't even get why Naran said that, but he pushed Bush. I guess he wants to know, like, some trade secrets or something. Like, I don't know what kind of fun that would be.
He wanna learn how to play Risk.
Frank, to answer your question, Bill Taft
world domination.
Bill Taft got stuck in the bathtub on Inauguration Day. You know.
Yeah, I think that's what I'm thinking of. I'm not hanging out with William Taft.
You got stuck.
Not a chance.
Yeah, he's so actually the biggest president we've ever had. They had to like redo the files and things because of his size.
That's Lamont's homie. Mm-hmm. You want to hang out with a dude who got stuck in the bathtub.
Hey, he probably paid for the lady, so Lamont probably get luckier than. Are y'all saying JFK would probably end up be born? William Taft probably used to get it in. Anyway,
he's like, it. I ain't going nowhere. I ain't got nowhere to go. All right, Timmy, man. But that's what happened this week while y'all were on the grind trying to get that money. Jimmy, tell everybody who's having a birthday today, man.
Absolutely. Let's get some birthday shout outs. The birthdays are brought to you by Dr. Monique Rowe of Alexandria Podiatry Associates. For the best and comprehensive treatment of injuries to the foot, ankle, and lower extremities, visit the Monique Rowe of Alexandria Podiatry Associates. They treat patients in the D.C., Maryland, and Virginia area and beyond. Go to alexandriapodiatry.org or call 703-379-0700. That's 703-379-0700. Don't forget, tell them War Room Sports sent you. You get the hookup. All right, some quick birthday shout-outs. The first birthday shout-out is the man with the funniest play in the history of football. Ronnie Brown turns 32.
Well, Jimmy, is it the Ronnie Brown pitchback on the one, or is it the butt fumble?
Yes, it is.
By Mark Sanchez. It's between those two.
No. The butt fumble's funny, but Ronnie Brown's might be funnier, yo.
I think Ronnie Brown's is funnier. I just think the butt fumble is more popular. More people know about that. We would have to show a lot of people Ronnie Brown's play.
That is hilarious, though. But Mark, because it's Mark Sanchez, it's a Jet, so, yo, it is what it is. But also, Orlando Brown turns 41. One of the most underrated linemen, who I never hear get mentioned anymore, John Randall, 44. And Haywood Jeffries. Yeah, how about that? John Randall's 44. Haywood Jeffries turns 47. Shout out to those gentlemen on their birthday. We'd like to give a nice big warm salute to all these gentlemen. Steph,
Remember Orlando Brown got smacked in his eye with a penalty flag, and he's about to beat the ref up.
And he got ballistic. And it's funny though, because it's like one of them things like, yo, chill, but you got to think about it. Like, he just snapped, like he got hit right in his eye. Like, you know, I definitely.
It is kind of weird that like referees can touch the players, but like the players can't touch the referees in any way. Like, I saw a referee in the NFL like try to, I think it was Antonio Holmes, and like he grabbed him by the arm, like trying to get his attention. Like, if Antonio Holmes ever did that to a referee, we would never see him again. He'd be on, like, Guantanamo Bay.
You know, it's certain adult establishments where they can touch you, but you can't. No, man. Go ahead, Dev. Tell people how to get in touch with us real fast before we move on. Talk some more.
All right, good people out there, you check out our website, warroomsports.com. While you're there, be sure to sign up for the War Report. That's our weekly newsletter. Click on the Contact Us tab to send us a message about the company, our show, or to inquire about sponsorship and advertising opportunities. For general inquiries, email us, info@warroomsports.com. While you're browsing the site, don't be lazy. Click on the memorabilia tab to buy War Room Sports merchandise and click the blog tab to read our latest articles in the All's Fair in Sports and War blog. Then click the respective icons to like our Facebook page, follow us on Twitter, subscribe to our iTunes podcast, download our free War Room Sports mobile app, and to watch our videos at warroomsportstv.com. Join the JW Philly Realty chat room right now during the show at blogtalkradio.com/thewarroom. To enter the chat room, just sign up for a free profile on Blog Talk Radio. If you're too lazy to do that, you know, you don't want to create an account, you can sign in through your Facebook or Twitter accounts. And while you're at it, click follow to get updates and reminders about the show. We'll be taking questions and reading posts from Facebook, Twitter, and the chat room during the show. But to call in and speak with us, dial the Digital Extreme Tech Hotline, which is open right now at 323-410-0012. Press 1 when prompted. If you're already listening from your phone, just press 1 if you would like to talk. Let's talk some hot topics real quick. Jimmy, and hot topics are brought to you by...
Listen, anyone who listens to the show knows this is one of my favorite companies. I love all of our companies, but this one is brought to you by Audible. If your schedule is too hectic to read as much as you want, try audiobooks and kick back and let someone else do the reading for you. All you have to do is visit Audible. Go to audibletrial.com/warroomsports. You will actually get a free book to try the service out. In no time, you can listen to the latest bestsellers, hands-free, stress-free, while getting other things done. I'm actually at 40
tell me
books
that.
Read in 2013, yo. I got 40 books read. probably won't
hit
52,
books,
but that's my goal for 2014. Yeah, but here's the thing, though. Because of Audible, I'm actually on a plane where I get 2 a month. That's about 24 Audible books right there, plus whatever else I purchase. So, you know, a lot of those are audio, but I have read some. The most recent one I just finished was Orange is the New Black. So, you know, and I'm on my new thing now where I write reviews every book I read. So you'll see that review sometime online this week. Anyway, but
That's interesting because I'm watching that show on Netflix right now. Is it just a one-season show? Does the book just go on her
Here's the thing. And not giving anything away, and I actually talk about this in my beautiful review that I wrote because my writing is amazing. But it's funny because it's a completely different story, actually. I mean, the characters are the same, but the book is where they kind of got the inspiration, you know, for the show. The show is pretty good. It's kind of hilarious, but, you know, it's not as much sex and violence. But anyway, that's the most recent book from Audible. Just finished the Tyson book, of course. My next one will be like the Dr. J. But there's a lot of great sports books if you want to keep the sports related. I mean, just over the past year, I've read Shaq's, I've read Phil Jackson, Mike Tyson. Like I said, getting ready to start the Dr. J. So there's a lot of great sports books in there as well. And why not have somebody read to you while you do, you know, other things, like hang out with William Taft and go yam farming. Anyway.
All right. Look, man. Joe Torre, Tony La Russa, Bobby Cox, they're all getting into Cooperstown. They were elected to the Hall of Fame this past Monday by the Expansion Era Committee. I think I'm pretty sure we would all agree that these are three, you know, Hall of Fame level managers. So I don't think anybody would disagree with their induction. But I do have a question for you fellas because I saw this today. It's an interesting point. We talk about the steroid era, and, like, all of the players in that era are kind of being condemned and not allowed into the Hall of Fame. But somebody brought up a question saying, well, what about the managers who rode these guys' coattails to a bunch of wins and into the Hall of Fame? Should they not be, you know, punished the same way as the players? It's not my question. This is a question that I saw. What do you guys think?
This goes deeper than that. You talk about the organizations that prospered financially, won championships. Everybody got fat while the players stopped. I mean, but seriously though, everybody got came up during that era. But only the players are you know, going to face any sort of punishment for it. And A-Rod kind of said the same thing, although no one really paid attention because it was A-Rod saying it. But this is what he was saying. He's saying that, you know, even if everything you're saying is true, we're the only ones being punished. The organizations were able to make the money they made. They were able to, you know, build new stadiums and do all these things. And meanwhile, the backlash is all on the players. I actually get that argument. But what can you do about it? I mean, it is what it is. I don't think anybody should be punished. I think they should just give them free drugs. Let everybody get on drugs.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of go the opposite way with it, too. Like, I think everybody should be let into the Hall of Fame. I think put Barry Bonds, put Roger Clemens, put them all in the Hall of Fame. I mean, it's
absolutely.
Yeah, you have quote unquote proof, maybe not even proof that they've taken steroids. First of all, Barry Bonds got off on a perjury charge, so I mean, he has evidence to the contrary that he didn't take steroids because that's what the whole trial was about. So, I mean, if anything, he has a case that proves that he didn't take steroids, even though we all know that he did. But I say put them all in because, yeah, these are the people that you have quote-unquote proof about, but, I mean, everybody was doing it. Not a large portion of the people they played against were doing it, so it's not like it was an unfair playing field.
Right.
That's my opinion.
They were just better than you before everybody started taking drugs, so, you know, naturally they would stay a level ahead of you when everybody is taking drugs. But no,
I mean, Barry Bonds was probably a Hall of Famer without steroids.
He
right.
definitely was.
You know,
he definitely his numbers will support that. And my thing is, if you're willing to shoot horse tranquilizers in yourself to kind of entertain me, then so be it. I mean, go ahead.
See, I get everybody's point. And I do think, you know, first of all, you know, there are a lot of technicalities in this whole steroid era thing. First, you know, it wasn't something that was tested for back then. You know, it wasn't actually, you know, on a list. So people kind of took advantage of that. Secondly, like you said, everybody, you know, there were a lot of people doing it, not just the face of the steroid era, the faces of the steroid era that we always see. But I think the whole thing with the managers, when people bring up this side of the coin, saying that, you know, how come they aren't being punished, I think it's still like a his word against my word type of thing. Because they can still deny. Like, I had no idea this was going on. I just thought great baseball was being played. None of us believe that, probably, but they can go to their grave denying that they knew anything about it. So it's like, what can you do? But I do think, you know, most of those guys, you should probably let them in the Hall because you're not taking away any team wins. You're not taking away statistics or anything like that. So if everything's going to stay the way it was, then you might as well just, you know, treat these guys like it never happened.
Def, while we're on baseball, do either one of you guys hear Scott Boras talk real dirty about Sean Carter?
No, what'd you say?
Yeah, this is a direct quote. They were asking him about the, you know, the contract that, you know, Robinson Cano got, $240 million over 10 years. And he said it's very different to be the creator of the umbrella versus those who just stand under it. When you're bringing a pretty girl to the prom, you don't really pay attention to who he's dancing with unless it's an unusual step. So, end quote, by the way.
Cabbage Patch.
So he's basically saying that a boy didn't do nothing. A little slander. You know, I guess that's his way of responding to getting dissed on the song.
Yeah, so basically, I brought him this far. All you did was make the deal type thing.
Yo, Scott Boras, on a scale of 1 to Pretzel, how salty are you?
These pretzels are making me thirsty. All right. I mean, he sounded a little sorry. I mean, he did get dissed in a rap song, so he had to shoot back at some point. So I guess this was his opportunity to shoot back. I would have shot back, too, but I would have made a song if I was Scott Boras. All right, so those three managers that we talked about are on their way to Cooperstown. Doc Holliday calls it quits for the Philadelphia Phillies. He actually signed a one-day deal with his Toronto Blue Jays so he could retire a Blue Jay. We didn't really set up a HOF or FOH segment, but that's been the talk ever since he made this announcement. A lot of people are trying to, you know, wonder if he's a Hall of Fame level player. What do you guys think?
Wow. Oh.
I think it's more difficult than a lot of people are making this question because, you know, statistically, as far as wins go, he has, what, like 203 wins or something like that? It's kind of hard to get into the Hall of Fame as an ace with 203 wins, but then you have to think about it. Like, for the last decade, he has been one of, if not the pitcher of note. You know, he's especially right-handers.
Yeah.
He got two Cy Youngs to his name. You know, came to Philly basically everything he was supposed to be. They just didn't get it done as a team. So,
yeah,
he has
a case. I know, I know Brent will make him first ballot and, like, you know, carry his bags to the Hall of Fame, but I'm having a difficult time just saying it that easy that he is.
You don't have to make a decision because this is something we can say for an HOF or FOH segment.
I got to do some research.
Yeah.
If I had to lean one way, I would say he's a Hall of Famer. I mean, I guess I have a question for you guys. Like, do you put the fact, like, he made some sort of a comeback in his career? Like, is that evidence towards him being a Hall of Famer, or does he not get credit for that?
I think he would probably have to get some credit for that.
But I also find it weird that he would be in and Clemens wouldn't. That's like, just I don't know. I know Clemens has nothing to do with this, but fact of the matter is, in my lifetime,
man.
Nobody
would
feel
about a horse tranquilizer.
You're going to have a Hall of Fame with Doc Holliday and not Roger Clemens. The Hall of Fame is suspect.
The whole thing. All right, but I don't know. I mean, his numbers, he was 203-105 with a 3.38 ERA in 416 career games, 390 starts. He had 67 complete games, 20 shutouts, and, of course, six-time All-Star.
Yeah.
And a two-time Cy Young Award winner.
Now, what you got to say? Hold on. We got a comment in the chat room. In the chat room, Naran said he shouldn't get in before Curt Schilling. What do you think about that?
We both think so.
I mean,
I would put
Curt Schilling.
Curt
Schilling didn't have that bloody sock was fake, by the way. It's a side note.
Even
but,
that was fake, too, like the flu game.
I was going to say, if you learned anything, everything dramatic is fake.
Well, you know, if we lean it away from Curt Schilling, the first thing people are going to bring up are the championships. So that makes the argument difficult in this current time that we live in where, you know, championships trump everything.
He said Curt was money in the playoffs, the lowest ERA ever. Only one with lower ERA in the playoffs are two pitchers who are relief pitchers. So, you know. I just have a difficult time putting him in. I put it like this: it's not a slam dunk for me. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah, I mean, the thing about Curt Schilling's career is it was very up and down. I mean, he's got. I'm just looking at his statistics right here. I mean, there was a lot of seasons where he went 14-11, 16-7. Then next season he went 2-8. You know what I mean? So there's a lot of inconsistency. Just looking at just a first glance at his numbers here.
Yeah.
So I think one of the things that makes For me, it makes a Hall of Famer a Hall of Famer is sustained greatness, where you're just the best player over a 5-year, you know, 7-year period. And I don't know if Curt Schilling has that in his profile.
Now, does Roy Halladay have that?
I would say that he does. I mean, there was a 5-year stretch where Roy Halladay was probably considered one of the top 5 pitchers in baseball. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know if you could say that.
Maybe
about
like
Curt Schilling.
Top 3. We'll see.
It's tough. Obviously, both guys are borderline. It's, you know, we're nitpicking here when you're talking about Hall of Fame, but.
Yeah. Well, that's because in every sport these days, it seems like the committees and the voters, it seems like people are starting to take the Hall of Fame a little more lightly than they should. Because just like you kind of mentioned, the Hall of Fame, at least what my understanding has always been, it's kind of like the best of the best, like the very best of the best. And some borderline guys, in my opinion, are getting into the Hall of Fame in every sport.
Shout out to Joe Dumars.
Shout out to Reggie Miller. Very best of the best. Yeah, and I'm a Reggie Miller fan. I love Reggie Hart.
I get you, though. I wouldn't put him in either, to be honest with you.
My man Reggie Miller got into the Hall of Fame off of 11 seconds.
Mark
Jackson. Yo, I agree with that.
Did Mark get in, or did we just argue about Mark Jackson?
We argued about Mark. I don't know if he got in.
Did.
I know Reggie
did. I don't think he got in. Not yet. But, just certain guys like that a lot of other people would say he's a surefire Hall of Famer. I think everybody's just thinking everybody who was very good while they played should be in the Hall of Fame.
Here's something I was thinking about the other day, and we probably should bring something up basketball thing, but I'll say it since we're talking about this now. You know, when the Celtics went on that run with KG, Pierce, and Ray Allen, they said the future Hall of Famers. And I was thinking about it. I don't even know if I'll put those three guys in the Hall of Fame. And it was like a foregone conclusion that they're just Hall of Famers. Like, I mean,
Ray Allen would never get into my Hall of Fame, first of all.
Yeah. That's kind of.
Like, the other two I would have to think about, but, and KG is probably definite. But Ray Allen,
the way they talked about them during that run, you would think that they were all this, like, surefire, and they probably are in this climate, but I'm just saying, when you really think about it, which one of those guys is just, like, you know, without question, a Hall of Famer?
I would say KG.
But
I think you're disrespectful.
Ray Allen?
I don't know about Ray Allen being a Hall of Famer.
Hey, he won the championship last year.
He can put his – Ray Allen can get his photo in the Hall of Fame as, you know, the greatest three-point shooter of all time.
He can get his shoes. You know, we can put his $100,000 shoes in the Hall of Fame. Yeah.
All right, now listen to this one. Skyview Kevin. Shout out to Skyview Kevin, even though you're a Raiders fan. Shout out to you anyway. He said Ray Allen holds the three-point record in free throws all time. Like, does that make you a Hall of Famer? Because you can shoot foul shots?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Is that a Hall
Steve
of Fame?
Steve Kerr had it before. Like, you're going to put Steve Kerr Hall of Fame?
Yeah, Steve Kerr had it before him. And Kyle Korver just set, like, a three-point record. So, like, no, let's put everybody in the Hall of Fame. Everybody's Hall of Famer, yeah?
Dana Barrows, Buddy Man.
Yo,
he had the record before Kyle
culture.
Korver.
That's the culture thing. There's no losers, and everybody's a Hall of Famer.
Now, here's the rebuttal.
Right.
He has two championships. Okay.
Neither one of them.
You don't want me to start naming guys that got two championships.
when Ray Allen was the man on a team, he didn't have any championships. Didn't really get close. He got close one time in Milwaukee, and, you know, it just didn't work out for him. And even then, he was on the team with two other guys that he deferred to when he shouldn't have. Because
yep.
He was playing with Glenn Robinson and Sam Cassell that year.
Sam
so.
Cassell.
If
Ray
we just
Allen
use the same standard
star.
Like we did for Roy Halladay, and it's, you know, was Ray Allen one of the best 10 players in the league for 5 years in a row?
Never.
I wouldn't say that.
Listen, Ray Allen going to the Hall of Fame, that's like giving a supporting actor the Actor of the Year award. Like, you can't do that.
You know what? I'm not even trying to be funny, but I don't think that there has been a time when Ray Allen was in the NBA that he was a top 10 player. Now,
right.
I can go back and do some research and look at the NBA roster from every year he's been in the league, but I don't think he's ever been a top 10 player. And, you know, if that's
See, I
the
think
case,
if you even,
how do
if
you
even
go
have
into
to
the
question
Hall of Fame?
That, that makes – if you even have to think about it, then he's probably not a Hall of Famer.
He said if Ray Allen doesn't get in, Grant Hill doesn't. Well, Grant Hill probably shouldn't either. And,
yeah, no,
and
Grant Hill's not a Hall
though,
of Famer.
But also, when you got to think about this, too, like –
Well,
if you
mix in college, Grant Hill has a
you
better chance
college,
than Ray Allen.
Grant Hill has a – yeah, he does a better – if you mix in everything –
Yeah, that's true about
Grant
basketball, too, because basketball is college included.
It's the Basketball Hall of Fame. And here's the thing. Grant Hill, at one point, was the best player in the entire league. I don't think we can say that about Ray Allen any one year.
Right.
Ray Allen was never the best player in his position, let alone the league. Grant Hill was the best player in the league.
No, Grant Hill – I mean, Ray Allen – I keep telling you, I'm not trying to diss the dude, but Ray Allen has always had trouble being the best player on his own team. Like, Big Dog was there when, you know, before he just fell off the earth. I guess Big Dog was never that much of a difference maker, but, you know, he used to lead the team in scoring.
He put up better numbers. He led the team in scoring. He had better numbers.
when he went to Seattle, that's when Rashard was good
Rashard
enough to
Lewis.
Earn the contract that he got. Who knows why
right.
he got the contract that he got. You know, in hindsight.
He's never been,
but,
he's
know,
never been the guy.
He's, never,
he's
been,
never been the guy.
Yeah, because I'm not going to say he hasn't been the best player on his team, but there's always been a question. You know, he's never been head and shoulders the best player on his team. Like, I hear people now say that Ray Allen's better than Allen Iverson. I think that's ludicrous. Like, I think
that's chill with that.
Let me ask you this question. When has Joe Dumars been the best player on his team? He's still got in the Hall of Fame.
Joe Dumars.
And I don't mean to keep slandering Joe Dumars,
Jimmy.
But he's like the. I don't mean to keep slandering
Joe Dumars,
but he's like the,
Jimmy. He was
the
best person on his team, man. The Citizenship Award is named after him, isn't it? He's the best person.
Guess who has won the Citizenship Award multiple times? Ray Allen.
Who?
Jesus.
Going.
He's also.
That's
a nice
say, I don't
guy.
Doubt
he's
that
nice
he probably will get in, but. If I was running
Does
things,
he,
like, he wouldn't come close to the Hall. Hell no.
Yeah, he's a one-dimensional player. He's scared to dunk the ball. Remember Ray Allen used to dunk back coming out of high school?
And the thing is, he's probably the most talented skilled shooting guard who's ever passed through the league. But he's never had that dog in him to be that guy. So, hell no.
Hey, Skyview, cut it out while you're ahead, man. He said the Celtics don't get the recent championship without Ray. The Heat don't get the one last year without Ray Allen. They also don't get it without Birdman. So, let's put Birdman in the Hall of Fame, too. Hey, stop it, Skyview. Just stop it.
And then, like, the word you use, the run that the Celtics had, they just like the Detroit Pistons, where everybody acting like they won, like, four chips. They won one time.
Yeah, we won one chance.
Yeah, we need to stop with the Celtics, this past Celtics big three being, like, legendary.
Yeah, like,
yeah.
They won one championship. Like, come on.
Yeah.
So Larry Bird.
You hear them tell it?
Laughing, like,
are
they serious?
That. Like, Doc Rivers is, like, the all-time greatest coach ever now. All these guys have, like, ascended to these places where, like, when you really sit back and think about it, yo, Doc Rivers might be overrated. Ray Allen is definitely overrated.
He's about to get fired
KG
before that trade went down.
Paul Pierce's deep ass is overrated.
KG, I think his reputation suffers from still being around. Sometimes I think, you know, people forget how nice KG was because they're looking at the last 5 years of his career.
Yeah, it might,
I would agree with that. I think people
Rondo,
forget
man.
How
Rondo
nasty KG was in
together.
Minnesota.
Yeah. I held on for a long time saying that KG was better than Tim Duncan. At some point, I had to let that go. But I held on for a long time. So I think he gets points for that, at least.
Now, Rand is in the chat room. Now he started his KG slander, as always. But KG has always been overrated. Same way with Melo. He said Duncan used to hand KG his lunch.
Now we're slandering Melo. Well, look, I got one more question for you guys because we got to move on because we got Fred Perdue waiting to give us some college football. You know, the awards are tonight. The Heisman Trophy finalists go on Saturday to find out how many points they're going to lose to Jameis Winston by. Russell Wilson was drafted today by the Texas Rangers in the Rule 5 draft. You guys think he'll ever seriously consider playing baseball again? Because you know he did
smart,
play 2 years in the minor league for Colorado for his senior year.
If he's smart, he'll make the switch, yo. And I know everybody's like, you're crazy. Yo, baseball
more money,
players
less CTE.
Yo, baseball players get paid, and when their career is over, they remember their career. Football players don't get paid half of the baseball players do, and then when their career is over, they can't even enjoy the memories because they don't remember them anyway. So
might not.
He could leverage what he's doing in football to get some dough. Who's the dude named that was a Dallas quarterback that said, I'm going to go play baseball?
Drew Henson?
Yeah.
Drew Henson.
He probably made more money than at least half the quarterbacks playing right now, and he wasn't even that good. The average baseball player makes more than a great football player.
Well, you see what the receiver from Notre Dame, you see what he chose. What is that dude?
Samardzija.
Samardzija.
Samardzija. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yo, baseball contracts are out of control. Guys can hit like 270 and make like an $80 million.
Guys can weigh like 270 and make $80
million.
The reason why he won't do it, though, is just because there's nothing like being quarterback. And if he wasn't a quarterback, if he was like a wide receiver or a running back,
if he was a backup quarterback. But he's had success so far. He's turning into a superstar, so, yeah.
He can't go from being a quarterback to like a third baseman and think everything's all right. No way, this is true.
And then
this is true.
Can't do the Deion Sanders thing as a quarterback because as a quarterback they need you there all the time. Can't just come running up late like into the season like let's go.
I mean, those are all great points. I mean, I could see if he was like the quarterback of a team that just got named to be a third stringer after having a little bit of success, and you was trying to find a way out the game anyway. But that's not his situation. He's on like arguably the best team in the league right now. So
like if he was Matt Flynn, I'd take my check and then go play baseball if I was Matt Flynn.
Matt Flynn's got too many checks.
I'd take my check. I'll sit around for as long as I, you know, have to get my full check, and then I'm out. All right, so let's talk a little.
Uncashed checks in the cupboard.
Exactly. Let's talk a little college football because we got Fred Perdue of HeavyInTheGames.com on the line with us. Fred, what's going on? You there?
I'm good. How you guys doing tonight?
Pretty good, pretty good. We got Frank from Sports Kings on.
What's going on, Frank?
We do the NFL show together.
Yep.
So what's going on, man? These awards are coming up. The Heisman is coming up. Give us the rundown.
Well, we have the Heisman, obviously, Saturday. I just have to say, before we get into that, the accuser of Jameis Winston of the sexual assault case has decided to have a press conference tomorrow. We don't really know yet. She's going to
come on the press conference like, I got the tape.
Yeah. She's going to try and get that cash.
I'm very interested to see what's going on with that. I have an idea. She said she didn't want to have her name and everything out there, but I think this is a 15 minutes of fame kind of thing, especially after the fact. Unless she has some concrete evidence that no one else knows about, this is a big issue for me. I mean,
she's going to do this the day before the Heisman. Well, the votes are already in, so she's not going to be able to change anybody's
mind. Is she going to be like coming out with Olivia Pope?
Yeah, that's kind of heavy. I'm wondering what could she possibly come out and say.
I wonder how Jameis don't say nothing, just give it here. Winston is feeling at this point when he hears this kind of news.
The question I have for Jameis Winston is, how is he going to run away now? Because yes, during the Duke game, he could be pulled away after Heather Cox questioned him very tough. He was pulled away, walked away, however you want to view it. He can't do that in a confined room. He can't run away from his trophies. Because let's be honest, if we really look at it, the only other player that really has a legitimate shot at this thing, at this Heisman Trophy, is Johnny Manziel, who decided today, by the way, that he's going on to the NFL like everyone thought. He's the only one that has even remotely been enough numbers to have a chance. But
the quarterback from Northern Illinois, I heard him on Dan Lebatard's show today, and he's very confident. He's writing his speech and everything.
Well, he's getting his acceptance speech for some other, I guess, I don't know what Heisman he's talking about, but
3,000 yards passing, 1,500 yards
in the
rushing.
MAC
he said nobody else has accomplished what I've accomplished.
You sure?
Yo, here's the crazy part, though.
1,000 yards of total offense last year, so.
Here's the crazy part. Here's the crazy part, Fred, real quick. When they were talking about Winston's numbers and they showed them, right, and they put them in comparison to what Johnny Football did last year, yo, and it gave me a whole new appreciation for what Johnny Manziel did last year. Like, we all knew it was off the charts, but the numbers he put up last year were just, like, ridiculous. Because
and you have to remember the one thing is he was in the SEC. He did it in the SEC.
In the SEC.
Again,
my man had, like, over 5,000 total yards. Like, my man had, like, 1,500 yards rushing as a quarterback. Like, who does that?
And with also a defense that, again, was – it had a couple big-time players who are now in the NFL, but no studs and no really – really great defensive guys in that secondary. You see teams like Florida, LSU, Alabama. Those guys were able to move the ball against him, especially in the second half. He was stopped in the second half of every big game against Florida, LSU, and Alabama. So I really appreciate him as a player as much as I hate all the things that he does off the field. You have to understand he's a young guy. He's one of the hardest workers in college football. Knowing what I know now, I don't
I'm
dislike
put a damn
actual.
Context in. No, but I heard Mel Kiper say that he thinks Jameis Winston should win the award by the greatest margin of all time. He thinks it should be a landslide.
Damn.
I'm like I don't know if I agree with that.
I would say by a landslide, but he's clearly the winner this year. When you have to think about another player outside of Johnny Manziel, because he literally was the winner last year, obviously, and this team's a four-loss team. I don't see you don't see that many Heisman contenders coming off of four-loss teams. Jameis Winston's really the only clear-cut guy. Jordan Lynch, not so sure. Trey Mason, he didn't get the love early, and Andre Williams from Boston College, he played for Boston College. That team is
damn.
I mean, yes, 2,000-plus yards. But when Syracuse stops you, you are completely out of that race.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's definitely his award because you saw what I called Jordan Lynch. I was going to call him Jordan Palmer, so I didn't want to do that. So I ended up calling him the quarterback from Northern Illinois until you just reminded me what his name was. So, yeah, if you don't know the guy's names, then he most likely should be a landslide.
I think
Jordan,
the only
maybe
thing
not
that keep it from being such a landslide is the fact that the last couple of games, Jameis Winston has had a couple moments, like a couple chinks in the armor a little bit where you thought he was kind of human and he wasn't. Yeah, I mean, he had an interception a couple of games ago that was a pretty bad interception. And then Trey Mason has really come on, obviously, at 300 yards, you know, in the last game. So I think, you know, just the tail end of it might stop it from being such a landslide.
Yeah, I agree.
Jordan Lynch had 2 300-yard rushing games, though. He's a quarterback.
Yeah, shout out to Jordan Lynch Palmer.
Trey Mason, I will
say. I'm making a case for Jordan Lynch.
I can't make a case for Jordan Lynch. Simply, he was
I'm not making a case because of his just based off his interview with Dan Le Batard. I like his arrogance.
The best team Jordan Lynch went up against was Bowling Green, and they held him in check.
Best team
and
Jordan Lynch went up against was Northern Illinois in practice.
I like the fact he's a good college quarterback. He's a great option quarterback. But when you do it in the MAC, show me you can do it somewhere else against a great team. And last year against Florida State, he couldn't run himself outside of a box.
Who does Northern Illinois having a bowl game this year, Fred?
Northern Illinois, I am not sure off the top of my head.
Frank, that's like 8 months away. It might change by then.
Somebody worthy, hopefully. Somebody
might drop out of the bowl. All right, so these other awards, who you got?
Well, for the
not all of them, just the major ones.
For the major ones, no punter and kicker awards. No punter and kicker awards.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
It won't go to Bama. It won't go to Cade.
No, it won't go to Cade Foster or their unknown name true freshman. But no,
homie from De La, we got a comment in our chat room. Homie from De La Soul's son who plays for Auburn, Kid Mason should win it. By the way, we have a Chris Winkie mention. Chris Winkie won a Heisman. He went to Florida State, and, you know, we saw that worked out, so.
Yeah, never mind. Northern Illinois is playing Utah State in the bowl game. I don't know. So, Jordan Lynch still unproven.
But, yeah, for some of the big awards that I have, the Chuck Bednarik Award, the best defensive player of the year, the three finalists are Anthony Barr from UCLA, Aaron Donald from Pittsburgh, and C.J. Mosley from Alabama. I personally like Anthony Barr to win this award. Aaron Donald from Pittsburgh is a very good player. He's an Ndamukong Suh-like player. But when you put up the numbers that Anthony Barr has put up in the last year, not to even forget the last year he was there, he's only played outside linebacker 2 years after coming over from tight end. He's just a beast, and he's put up big numbers this year. UCLA on defense would not be the same without him. The Biletnikoff Award for the best wide receiver in the country, got to easily give it to either Mike Evans from Texas A&M or Sammy Watkins. It's a tie for me. I really
how you gonna
can't
say,
go
how you gonna say easily
Mike
and then
Evans
say
from
two
good
people.
It's easily one of the two. It's easily one of the two. You can't
Mike
really
Evans
go wrong. Mike, both of these guys, you'll see those two guys on the NFL field near you next year. Looking forward to those guys. The Ray Guy Award, best kicker, you got to give it to no one that actually cares. the Maxwell Award, no, seriously, the Maxwell Award goes to the best college player in the country. The finalists, Johnny Manziel, A.J. McCarron, and Jameis Winston. Jameis Winston, for me, I just really think that Jameis Winston's been the best quarterback in the country, been the most efficient quarterback in the country. And even without that defense, that offense is still putting up big numbers. You can't really be too upset. The best quarterback award, again, Jameis Winston, Davey O'Brien award, and the Outland Trophy, a trophy I actually had a chance to vote on this year, best interior lineman in the country, goes to Jake Matthews, Texas A&M.
Easily Jake Matthews.
Yes.
How much film did you watch to make that vote?
Wow.
That's a hard award to give out.
I've seen Jake Matthews for the last 2 years. Last year he played at right tackle. This year he's playing at left tackle. He's protected Johnny Manziel very well. And to protect Johnny Manziel, a guy that runs around a lot, you have to be able to know where he's at
the whole
time.
I was just saying, yeah, I was the best lineman on Texas A&M, yet all I see is Johnny Manziel just running for his life every down.
The Jim Thorpe Award, best college defensive back, goes to Darquise Dennard from Michigan State. No relations to Alfonso Dennard of the Patriots and former Nebraska Cornhusker. He's very most physical corner in the country. He, no guy really has a chance to get away from him this year, and he had a big game against Ohio State in the Big Ten championship game. Doak Walker goes to the best college running back. This one, I had a little bit of a struggle. Kadeem Carey or Andre Williams. Andre Williams has the best numbers. Kadeem Carey had the better season, per se, based off of his team. But you got to give it to the guy with the better numbers. 2,000 yards, even at Boston College, is very tough. And he's been the first 2,000-yard back in a long time.
Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't give it to him because his name has an apostrophe in it.
I mean, but he also gave an award to a guy named Mike Evans, though. Like, I just thought about good times, right? You know what I mean? I was waiting to hear him say, "Here we are." Tell me that wasn't the classic good times episode.
Real quick before you finish, is Mac Brown leaving?
In my opinion,
he's acting like he's not leaving.
I think he's gone. I think everything I've heard and some people I've talked to, he's more than likely out of there, not guaranteed.
Will Nick Saban take his job?
Nick Saban, I do not think he's going to take his job. Nick Saban has no reason to take his job.
Fred, let me tell you something.
Saban,
I saw a report yesterday that Texas was getting ready to put together a package of 10 years, $100 million for Nick Saban.
Damn!
Yeah. One of their boosters says something slick like, all the money that's not in the Federal Reserve is at UT or something crazy like that. So
we can lawn here.
All the money that's not at the Vatican is at Texas. Yes,
he said the Vatican. You're right. He said the Vatican. All the money that's not in the Vatican is at UT. So we can lawn here.
Why leave a team in Alabama where you can recruit anybody you want? You're at a national.
Did you say why?
I have 10 years.
At Texas, he can still recruit every year. And Jimmy just told you why.
And you're in the state of Texas. What great Texas player is not going to go to Texas with Nick Saban?
And there's no state taxes in Texas. Just throwing that out.
Talk to him, Frank. There's a lot of reasons right there.
And for a couple of years, there won't be any pressure because they know he's in build the program mode.
There's always pressure.
That's a lot of money.
There's always.
Alabama, like,
here's the thing.
Because of this field goal and this run back, like, their whole – everybody on that team, their lives are considered failures right now. People expect Alabama to win everything now that the team is fully built. At least he has rebuilding time in Texas.
Fred, peep this, though, Fred, right? He's going to Texas, right? Texas and Florida are, like, the two biggest places to find college football players. I mean, you would agree with that, right?
Yes.
I think that Nick Saban literally has the ability and the power to shift the entire power of a conference if he leaves and goes to Texas. And I know that sounds crazy, but I really believe that. I mean, if you're a kid in Texas, why wouldn't you want to go to play at Texas under Nick Saban? That's like college football porn. Like, why wouldn't you want to do that?
Nick Saban's got a little Larry Brown in him too, where he just gets tired after a while where he is.
Yes, I agree with that as well.
Jump shit.
But at 62,
which is a legacy builder because he goes and wins championships everywhere he goes. So
absolutely, shots at the Dolphins, but I mean, it's like he succeeds in most places, and if he can go and turn the Texas program around after like winning in Alabama, he's probably already arguably the greatest college coach, if not. He's one of them. He's in a handful of guys that can be considered the greatest. But if he goes and adds to his legacy while making $100 million, I don't think an NFL coach makes that much money.
No. The highest paid coach in the NFL is Bill Belichick, by the way. He's making
how much he make?
Between $6 and $7 million.
Second time in this segment that you found a way to bring the Patriots up, man. Stop that.
How about that?
Stop that, man.
Yeah, my man said he was like somebody's third cousin. He was like, third cousin.
He's like, no relation to such and such of the Patriots. Yeah, he just wanted to say Patriots, man.
And
everybody doesn't know out there,
Fred
Perdue is a Patriots fan. So if you wonder why Patriots keep coming up in college football talk, now you know.
Yeah,
I'm watching this award
Fred,
show, man. These college dudes got a lot of acne. It shows you how young they are.
They're teenagers, man. Anyway, Fred, man, thanks for everything, man. Last question before we get you out of here. Why is the national championship 8 months away from when the season ends?
Oh, I'm still wondering. I need my college football to fix. I know the NFL is a great sport, but as well, I need my college football fixing.
Yo, it's like they're practicing for a whole new season.
It's hard to get excited for the game, though. It's very hard to get excited for the national championship.
It really is. And I really wish that they would actually move the bowls up a little bit, but in a way it also helps. It gives these teams a little time. They have bowl practices, and that helps the younger players get involved. I know at least from just what I know at the University of Miami, they finally have a chance to go through bowl practices. And after two years, and they're really, really happy right now to have those, because you get those extra 30 practices throughout between now and the spring, where you get guys healthy. You get these younger guys, the true freshmen, the redshirt freshmen, turning into sophomores and so on, to get a little more acclimated to the team. And also you get to look at what guys you have and what guys you don't. So it's a constant grind.
I think they're trying to give Jameis Winston time to get some LASIK surgery after the game.
Seriously, why won't he wear his contacts, man? I mean, that's a joke, because y'all don't know the answer, but why won't this dude?
Florida State guys, and it's a mystery. Whatever he's doing, it's working, but
Not going to fly in the NFL. I don't care how successful he is. That's not going to fly. Anyway,
yeah.
Put your damn contacts on.
Especially if he's playing for a team like the Browns, the Jaguars.
Or
the
Patriots.
Or
the
Patriots.
We have our number 12. He's all right now. We're good.
Hey, listen, he ain't going to be there forever. I know you don't want to hear that, but
Don't remind me.
The day will come. The day will come when you guys will go back to being the Patriots. Not these
new thing that we're not accustomed to here.
Yeah, the Patriots we know. The Tony Easton Patriots. All right, Fred. Thanks for your call, man. We'll be talking to you, though.
All right, guys.
Tell everybody how to get in touch with you on Twitter, though.
Make sure you guys hit me up on Twitter at Heavy in the Games, HEAVYINDAGAMES, as well as on Twitter at FProduceSports.
All right, Fred. Take it easy.
All right, guys. Thanks.
All right.
The funny thing is, even Tony Easton, bum ass, went to the Super Bowl. All right.
How about that?
Everybody,
about that?
Make sure you check out our website at warroomsports.com to call in and speak with us about any of today's topics. Dial the Digital Extreme Tech Hotline at 323-410-0012. Press 1 when prompted. If you're already listening from your phone, just press 1 if you want to talk. Jimmy, let's do some NFL rap real quick, fellas. And NFL rap is brought to you by Stitcher Smart Radio. You can now hear our show, The War Room, on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your computer, your iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry, or Palm phone. But like Jimmy always tells you guys, if you still own a BlackBerry or Palm phone,
kill yourself.
All right, but the latest episode is always available for you. No syncing needed. No memory or storage wasted. Downloading is easy. Click on the Stitcher logo on our website and listen or download to your mobile phone directly from that page. Before you do, make sure you enter the promo code, The War Room, all one word, for a chance to win a large cash prize. We always say that because we don't really know how much it actually is, but you guys like cash. So, Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
Okay, let's talk football. Hey, which always means, for some reason, every week this season we have been talking about the Redskins and the team is putrid, yet they find a way to stay relevant. I really believe that Snyder, he's the new Jerry Jones. He finds a way to keep his team relevant, although they stink.
But the bad part about it, Jimmy, is all their fans send us hate mail about why we're always talking about their team. Your team is always in the news. What are we supposed to do? We're trying to run a business here. We're trying to make a living. Come on.
Exactly. And the thing is, but they stay in the news. I mean, this team stinks like octopus taint. yet we have to talk about them on a weekly basis, right? Now, here are just some of the news stories on Redskin land. Mike Shanahan, some are saying that he leaked the story himself about how he almost left last season. Do you guys believe this, or do you think that Mike Shanahan is, like, you know, doing his last-ditch effort to keep his job?
No, I think it's the opposite.
Yeah.
I think Mike Shanahan's making his effort to get fired, because if you resign, you leave all that damn Snyder money on the table. But if you do things like leak that you don't like this team and you almost left last season, you bench RG3, yo, he's going to have tight ends at the running back position. He's going to have, like, defensive linemen, like, playing quarterback. He's just going to force
I like
fire.
That theory.
Yo,
I like that theory.
Mike
I didn't
Shanahan.
Think about that.
Yeah.
For my Seinfeld fan, this is George Costanza driving the World Series trophy around the parking lot, dragging it on the back of his car.
Exactly.
He's trying to get fired so he can hold on to that $7 million like Frank just said. That is exactly what he's doing. But yeah, it's crazy because you know it depends on where certain things come from, because I've learned that Shanahan has a few close friends in the media, his closest friend being Adam Schefter. So if a story comes from Adam Schefter, now which this one about him leaving actually wasn't leaked by Adam Schefter. I think it was like his third place guy. I forgot his name. But it was like Adam Schefter, Sally Jenkins from the Washington Post, and then the guy that leaked this story. If it comes from one of those three, then you can pretty much think on good authority that it came directly from Mike Shanahan or his camp, because they're just buddies like that. I definitely think leaking that report, like Frank said, it was one of his methods of trying to get out of this contract but still get paid. Because
and not only did he do that, the best part is he had his son tell the media that he was disappointed that his father benched RG3, trying to create a rift of the Shanahans, making
maniacal,
people think this
man.
Is a mess, they got to go.
Yo,
he's going to split half the check with them.
This guy knows what he's doing. You know what I'm saying? He's been through the waters. He really knows what he's doing. And I think, I don't know, the fact that we all know that this is what he's doing, of course, that means Daniel Snyder knows what he's doing as well. So I'm interested to see how this chess game plays out, or if Daniel Snyder will just end up saying, okay, forget it, you know, you're fired, and I'll pay you the money. But the whole benching of RG3 thing after – I mean, because first of all, what leaked, if anybody out there doesn't know what we're talking about, Shanahan said that he was close to leaving last season because of – the relationship between Robert Griffin III and owner Daniel Snyder. Now, living in the D.C. area, I know that this isn't anything new for Daniel Snyder, because he and Clinton Portis were really, really chummy. And that was to a point where some people thought they really didn't have authority to say and do certain things when it came to Clinton Portis, because he was so close to the owner. And that's probably the same way Mike Shanahan feels about Robert Griffin III and Daniel Snyder's relationship. But it takes a lot of balls, unless you're doing it on purpose, to bench the franchise quarterback who's chummy with the owner for the last three games of the season and, you know, try to pass it off as, you know, we want to make sure he goes into the offseason healthy. If for any chance you guys think that could possibly be real reasoning and be true, do you think that's better for RG3, or do you think with the mediocre season he's had, the more reps, the better? Like, which method would you guys employ in this situation?
That's tough. I mean, I think it's going to be better for RG3 overall, not even because of whether he needs more reps or anything like that. I just think you got to go through a little turmoil. You got to go through, you know, I mean, I see RG3's progression a lot like Cam Newton's was. You know, Cam Newton last year, people were questioning whether he was a real deal after his big rookie season, and then obviously Cam's kind of arrived this season. I think you're going to see a very similar thing with RG3, where you got to go through some turmoil, you got to be benched, and to ultimately be better. It's about how you respond to adversity.
Right.
Man.
Jimmy.
I, yo, this whole situation, yo, It's just terrible, man. Like, people try to make the excuse that this guy, he's not healthy. If he was healthy, no, he's healthy. He's definitely healthy. Now, whether the Shanahans are trying to sabotage and, like, because we were talking last night on Field Vision, which you can find at WarbleSportsTV.com, we were talking about whether, you know, now we'll see the real playbook that Cousins is in. At the end of the day, man, like, it's not going to work with both of them. That's just the bottom line. It's not going to work. We all don't think that RG3 is Shanahan's guy to begin with, and we always talk about how coaches have to have their guy, quote-unquote, because, you know, that's just how they operate. We talked about even with Nick Foles and how hot he is, how some people still are speculating that he may not be there. I mean, coaches like right. their guy. We don't think that RG3 is there. He's Daniel Snyder. I mean, he's the owner's guy. But he's also becoming Jerry Jones in the sense that he's starting to meddle too much. We talk about him being Jerry Jones in terms of bringing, like, you know, attention to his team. But, yo, you don't got to fall back and, like, you can't have your guys. You know what I mean? Like, how can you run an organization like that?
Yeah, what do the other guys in the locker room think, you know, when you're chumming it up with one player, you're obviously putting him above the rest of the team. I mean, he is your franchise quarterback, so, you know, let's be real here. In all reality, you know, we all know that they're above the rest of the team if a franchise quarterback is even worth half his salt. But you can't just go out there and just blatantly throw that in people's faces. So, you know, it's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, I know you guys remember the story where Robert Griffin III turned down an invitation to a White House dinner to hang out with Daniel Snyder and his wife that night. And that's weird. Like I told you guys earlier when we were talking about what presidents you would hang out with. Yo, I mean, we hear that Robert Griffin III is a Republican. That's his business. Politics aside, if you get invited to the White House, I think you go to the White House. Especially, you know, Daniel Snyder and his
right
wife.
There,
yeah, yeah, exactly. You can hang out with those guys anytime. Obviously, you know, you're his right-hand man these days, so he'll understand. It's the president.
Yo, skipping the presidential,
which president.
Skipping the White House for Daniel Snyder is paying off right now for him. You see this? This is why he did it, because of the situation like this. Because Shanahan's going to get canned, and then RG3 is just going to be RG3 this again.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, because I spoke with some people today who thinks if Kirk Cousins goes out there and lights it up, that there will be a quarterback controversy in D.C., leading into next season. I don't see there being an ounce, a smidge of a chance of that happening. I think if Kirk Cousins goes out there and puts up Peyton Manning-like numbers for these last three games, Robert Griffin III will be starting quarterback of Washington's team, you know, come
yeah,
September.
I would agree with that. I think the best case scenario is that if Kirk Cousins does that, he's going to pull Matt Flynn, and they're going to trade him to some team
and get traded
for quarterback.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's funny though, cause I
but
I heard you say,
Jimmy, you're right.
I also saw you arguing. I also saw you arguing today with someone on social media, cause a lot of people really believe that Kirk Cousins could take this guy's job. I think they're delusional. There's no way Kirk Cousins. That's RG3's team.
He gave up,
I mean,
four picks to get the guy. He's gonna have a little bit
more
of a
house
leash
up for this guy.
One bad season, so it's yeah. I think people are arguing on what they want to happen. You know,
yeah, you
so,
don't give up four picks and then just go against
yeah.
the guy after.
So he had a bad season, so
seasons.
Let's get rid of him.
Right.
Exactly.
Listen,
that's
though,
not going to happen.
Before,
RG3 will be out there with one
though,
knee.
We got a call. We got a call on the line real quick. Let's bring the caller on real quick so they can holler at us. We got Rob calling all the way in from Cali. What's going on, Rob?
What's up, man? Good to hear from y'all again, man.
What's up, Rob?
Yeah, man. We in the building. What you think about RG3, Rob?
Oh, RG3, shoot. Pride comes before the fall.
Yeah, the funny thing is, Rob, a reporter asked him on, like, Tuesday, do you think there's any chance that you won't be the starting quarterback of this team come next week? And he looked at her basically with a, you know, like an Ed Lover look to her FOH. Basically gave her a come on son look and told her that's a non-issue. And then 2 days later, you know, it's official. He's on the bench for the last three games of the season. So, yeah, that pride.
I mean, it makes me appreciate Jeffrey Lurie too, man. It's thank God we have. I mean, I love Daniel Snyder. I keep messing up your team. The same thing with Jerry Brown. Man.
You mean Jerry Jones?
Jerry Jones. Whatever. I mean, that dude. Man. That dude. I mean, but, and you know, just RG3, it's irony because they bought him in there. They bought RG3 in there to save his job, and he ends up getting fired because of him.
Well, I mean, I don't necessarily think they brought him in there to save his job. I think they brought him in there because they haven't had a good quarterback in, like, 15, 20 years. From all accounts, you know, being close to the situation in the area, you know, everything's starting to come out now because, you know, your dirty laundry comes out when you're losing. I'm hearing that RG3 wasn't Shanahan's guy in the first place. He didn't want to draft RG3, which might make some sense when you consider he drafted another quarterback 3 rounds later and then bragged the next day about how they stole Kirk Cousins in the draft. I don't know. Maybe he, all this time, he was hoping that this dude failed so he can get a chance to, you know, put his shiny new toy in there and let him get a spin. So, like Jimmy said, I agree with you 100%. The playbook's going to change, but in situations like this where you have one quarterback who's uber-talented athletically versus another person that's like a traditional pocket passer, I mean, you have to change the playbook. I hear people all the time when this happens, they have these conspiracy theories, you know, like even in Philly. Oh, when Mike Vick goes out, the line blocks better and the plays are called better and this and that. No, that the ball's coming out faster. So the line may look a little better. And, you know, somebody's a traditional pocket passer versus a scrambler and, you know, somebody who improvises, the plays are going to be called differently. People have to live with that.
Like, yeah, I mean,
they get upset when you don't call plays to your quarterback's strengths, and then, you know, the conspiracy theorists want to come out when your quarterback goes down and you have to change the playbook to fit the strengths of the next guy, so...
Yeah, the thing I'm curious about in this whole situation is I think we can all agree that, you know, this probably is going to end with Mike Shanahan either firing or resigning. And he'll probably get another job just based on his reputation. But if he fails at the next job, at what point do we just think that maybe Mike Shanahan's not a good coach anymore?
Oh, I already think that.
Jimmy's been there.
Well, I know Jimmy already thinks that. That I knew.
You know, Jim, every, you know, Broncos, you come through there, you know. Just Jimmy, he's spoiled, first of all. This dude coaches his team to 2 Super Bowls. If a guy coaches the Philadelphia Eagles to 2 Super Bowls, that dude will never have to spend a penny again in the city of Philadelphia as long as he lives. Like, he can win the 2 Super Bowls, go to the podium after the second one, publicly crap on the city, and say that the fans are some obnoxious pieces of trash, but he still won't have to spend another penny in that city for the rest of his life.
Is it true? So, Rob, how's the weather out there, Rob?
Oh, it's cool. It ain't cold, but it's cool compared to everywhere else, man.
Dog, we getting hit with snow left and right. You talking about it's
cool, man.
I'm
about to say, cool. It's probably like 68 degrees. He's talking about it's cool.
Yeah, yes, you know, like, it gets low 40s, but it's cool, man.
Like
we got hit
snow
twice in the last 5 days, man. You saw the
Eagles game
this past week, man.
That was crazy.
Oh man, that blizzard game made my Sunday, man. It was man.
I heard that. I heard that.
All right.
Hey Rob, man, listen, man. Thanks for the call, yo. Hit us up next week, man. You know, talk some more football with us.
All right, man. Y'all take care. Happy Kwanzaa.
All right, Rob. I think take it easy.
Yeah.
All
right.
Yeah, man. So. That's what's going on in D.C., man. But with that being said, right, the NFC East is still up for grabs with the Eagles and Cowboys fighting and also the NFC North. A couple things. In terms of the NFC East, do you think they just jinxed the Eagles with the Nick Foles SI cover? Because we know that's a thing, the SI cover. Did you guys see Nick Foles on the cover of Sports Illustrated?
Yeah, he just put the kibosh on my squad season. It's over. It's over.
What you think, Frank?
Nah, I don't believe in any of that stuff. I don't think he's jinxed at all. I think if you start being bad, it might be because we're starting to see who Nick Foles really is.
Put Eli on the Madden cover. Put Eli on the Madden cover.
Yo,
see what happens.
Yo,
can't
Eli,
the worst season on this year.
You're gonna get carted off
the
field.
Eli can't even take a picture. You can't even take a picture of Eli that's worthy of a Madden cover. He just had that same dumb look on his face. He won't know which one to use.
Dude, you're gonna have to put. He's gonna have to have on his helmet with a dark mask on it. Eli, yeah,
you're gonna have to have one of those Marshawn Lynch visors on his face in order to get him on the cover.
Eli is a goofy dude, man. No, I mean, I think, you know, the race is down. It's still at a point where the Eagles and Cowboys both control their own destinies. I was hoping, I'm still hoping, he hasn't been cleared, so it doesn't look like Aaron Rodgers is going to play. As an Eagles fan, you know, I hope he gets back into the lineup since they play the Cowboys this week. That would really help things out. The Eagles have a game in Minnesota that could be, you know, one of those trap games that everybody talks about all the time. And then they have to play Chicago on the Sunday nighter. They actually got flexed to a Sunday nighter. And then end the season in Dallas. You know, it may come down to that last game in Dallas.
Right.
Like,
I think it's a foregone conclusion. It's going to come down to that last game. I don't doubt that one bit.
Right, because I don't see Dallas
come down to that last
game. The Packers. I mean, the Packers would still have a hard time beating the Cowboys this weekend if Rodgers did play, just because, you know, you have to knock off some rust against a desperate team. Without Aaron Rodgers, I don't see the Packers having a shot. So,
yo, against that defense, dude, that's a get-right game. Aaron Rodgers
true.
Should come back.
True, that's a rust-knocker team right there.
Yeah.
That's another reason why Kirk Cousins might light the league on fire, because he has to play the Cowboys. He has to play Atlanta Falcons, and he has to play your Giants, Frank. So that's three teams.
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers would be giving
with
them
defenses.
Aaron Rodgers would be giving them. It's just like riding the bike speech in the mid first quarter, you know, as he throws his third touchdown.
Yeah, man. So
a fan,
But NFC is just interesting all around, because also, you know, when you look at like the AFC, right? We pretty much kind of got an idea with the exception of maybe the last spot. I mean, you know, it's the Broncos, the Patriots. Looks like it's going to be the Bengals and Colts. Like, we pretty much know, but
yeah,
the NFC North is crazy, because Detroit had, you know, could have controlled it, but they decided to lose the game in the snow when they were up 14-0 and no one could move the ball. And then Frank made the call from Vegas and told us to over under, so they had to get a little bit closer. But
I think those teams now with Aaron Rodgers out, those two teams, Detroit and Chicago, I don't think they've taken advantage of the situation the way they should, because if they let them hang around and he comes back and it indeed is, like Frank said, like riding a bike, then those teams might be in trouble. So, you know, Detroit, every time we want to crown them, every time we want to say how much better they are, you know, they do something. They drop a game here or there to let you know that they are still the Lions. And, you know, we will be reckoning
with. What about the Bears, though?
The Bears, well, we talked about this.
The Bears are who we thought they were. That's what we thought they were. Now, if you want to crown them, then crown their ass.
Damn, why are you so angry?
They are who we thought they were. And we're not going to
hit them. You know, Cutler is coming back. It's official. He's playing this week. Jimmy said as soon as they let him back in is when they're going to flop. So,
and I'm going to love every minute of it.
Since you're in the midst of this, you know, almost three-way tie for the top of the division, your backup quarterback is kind of playing lights out at this point. Your starting quarterback has missed 4 weeks. Would you guys have made that call, or would you have stayed with McCown? I don't even have to ask Jimmy. He would have went to McCown while he was healthy.
I wouldn't have went back to Cutler. I mean, if for nothing else, only because McCown is playing well, and also because, I mean, from the reports, Jay Cutler's probably not going to be there past this season anyways. It seems like they're ready to get rid of him, so why not go with McCown? And so you don't have to set the stage for, you know, if Cutler plays well these next couple of games and you're planning to get rid of him anyways, you're just setting yourself up for, you know, fans backlashing and, you know, the media backlashing. So,
right.
I mean, if your plan was to get rid of Cutler anyways, just keep him on the bench, and that way he can just ride into the sunset. Nobody will miss him.
Jay Cutler is
a
crybaby. They didn't want him to throw a temper tantrum. You know, so they try to appease him.
I mean, I think it's one of those situations with injuries. I mean, the guy is always going to tell you that you feel good, but, you know, the politics of the game is an organization can get a doctor to tell somebody, look, you're not cleared yet. We're not going
to
clear
you yet.
We
need to stop with this you can't lose your job because of injury thing. That is
that's the worst cliche
in all sports.
It is the worst.
That's saying a lot.
When people say that, like, you can run down a list of quarterbacks that we wouldn't know had that not been true. You know what I'm saying? People,
right.
And don't get me started on my fellow Eagles fans, because the people who are still riding hard for Mike Vick keep throwing that out there. Well, you can't lose your job to injury. How the hell do you think Vick got the job in the first place?
Right.
Cobb got his brain rattled week one of 2010. And then
tell that to Drew Bledsoe.
Yeah, Drew Bledsoe's still looking for his job back.
You know what I mean? Like, come on, man. But we all know that that Cutler's a crybaby. I mean, you know, there are rumors that he saw the Monday night performance, and he was, you know, sad in his room, and he said, "I gotta come back soon."
That wife he's got is probably driving him crazy too.
This is how Jay Cutler was in his room when he watched the Monday night game.
When I'm alone in my room, sometimes I stare at the wall, and in the back of my mind, I hear my conscience call, telling me I need a...
He said, "I'm coming back. I'm not losing my job." At any rate, man, the NFL is considering taking all replay reviews in-house. Do you guys think this is a good idea?
I don't think it's a good idea. I think it's a great idea. I think there should always be an independent third party that looks at it, and somebody assigned to just look at replays, the same way that they do it in college.
Get it right.
Like me, I can't think of any, like, reasons why this absolutely has to happen, but I think it's a good idea, you know, just for little things. Like, you know, you're going to avoid the 40 seconds that it takes to walk back and forth for the referee to walk to the booth, you know, and then walk back onto the field after he's made his decision to make the announcement. Little things that people may not even think of, like if I'm on the field and, you know, I just called the ref a bitch in his face or something like that, you know, there's a chance that the human element might come into play the next time he's under that review booth trying to, you know, figure out whether or not your team's receivers had his foot in bounds. So I don't know.
I think
you
a
take
very
away
real
those
things. Like, confirmation bias is a very real thing, where if you made a call on the field, like, you think that's the right call regardless of what you're seeing on the replay. And I think that does affect decisions sometimes.
Right. So if you put that in a third party's hands, I think we will get better decisions on things like that. You know,
it's all about getting it right.
Human nature of stubborn officials. You take away the human nature of, you know, I might be a little upset right now because of what you just said to me. You know, just little things like that a lot of people say, "Oh, that doesn't go on." It probably does, but yeah. I mean, I definitely like it. I definitely like it. One thing that I forgot to mention, and one thing that I don't like, is these tailgating and parking rules surrounding the Super Bowl up at MetLife.
Oh, man.
First of all, it's an 82,500 seat stadium, and they're going to have 13,000 parking spaces available for the Super Bowl. So they want you to catch these shuttles where you can catch these shuttles at 9 different locations around the region. That's going to cost you an extra $51 on top of the $3,000 you pay for your ticket. $51, you know, it gets you there. I guess it's a round trip. They won't let anybody drop, you know, you can't drop anybody off. They're saying even the rich people are going to be upset because you can't get black car, limo, taxi cab, or anything like that, because if you drop someone off, they're going to force that car to remain at the stadium. And the only way you can remain at the stadium is if you have a parking pass, and I can't imagine how much these parking passes are going to cost. There will be no tailgating at the Super Bowl this year. So it seems like, you know, they're taking all the fun out of the Super Bowl, and I think it has a lot to do, first of all, with they claim it has a lot to do with security. And, you know, security always is a bigger issue when you're closer, you know, northern Jersey and you're closer to New York. I just think they're taking all the fun out of the game. I mean, I always hear that the Super Bowl is for rich people anyway, but they're not even catering to those guys. So
Shout out to Roger Goodell.
Tough to check. So I've said all that to say, fellas, no grilling for us at the Super Bowl this year.
No, none. It's terrible.
We can't toss around the pigskin, get a hot dog and nothing. So, you know. So basically, if that's the case, I'm not going just because of that.
That was the straw that broke the camel's back. We're not going.
That's my reason. Yeah, we're not going to go because we're protesting against the rules, the tailgate.
I'm going to grill all my hot dogs at the crib.
Yeah, all right. So that's all I had to say about that. Jim, you got anything else before we talk a little round ball?
No, you know what, man? You know, it is what it is, man. Let's just jump right into these hoops talk, man.
All righty. Well, let's talk a little NBA. NBA Rap is brought to you by Fanatics. For the best in your favorite teams, merchandise, and apparel, shop Fanatics. Shopping Fanatics is easy. Just go to our website, warroomsports.com, click on the Fanatics logo on our main page or on our sponsors page and get the latest in NFL, NBA, NHL, MLB, NCAA gear, and whatever other acronyms you can think of, and a whole lot more. All right, so Curtis Blow, Jimmy's favorite rapper. Can't do this without him.
Curtis
All right,
Blow's
NBA
trend.
Players
sorry,
of
ahead.
The week. NBA players of the week. Jordan Crawford of your Boston Celtics and LaMarcus Aldridge of the Portland Trail Blazers. All right, Jordan Crawford led the Celtics to a 3-0 week. He averaged 23.3 points a game. He shot 61% from the field, 6.7 assists and 3 rebounds. Kind of impressed, Jordan Crawford. LaMarcus Aldridge, who we expect to see here, you know, several weeks this season. He led the Blazers to a 3-1 week. Even though they were 3-1, they had some great wins over Indiana and Oklahoma City. He averaged 26.3 points, 12.8 rebounds, 4.5 assists, and 1.5 steals. When they played the Thunder, he had 38 points, 13 rebounds, and 5 assists. Yo,
damn.
How tough is LaMarcus Aldridge right now?
Yeah, he's tough. I heard Jordan Crawford started eating applesauce and before the game, so some graham crackers and applesauce. And now his game
Jordan Crawford's giving Nick Young hope. That's a bad thing.
Jordan Crawford thought he was the other guy. Yeah.
But
LaMarcus Aldridge might be
man.
The most underrated player in the league. I firmly believe that.
Might be. He's up there. And I think it's only because of where he plays. And also his game just isn't, like, uber exciting. But he's just, like, fundamentally sound. He's just a solid player, man. He's definitely one of the most underrated players in the league.
I think a lot of the underrated players in the league are power forwards.
Yeah, you know what it is,
position,
though, man? It's
I wouldn't
like,
say that
like,
position is making a comeback, but you have some really good ones up there.
We live in the age of ESPN and YouTube and things of that nature, so guys like a Kevin Love and LaMarcus Aldridge, who kind of like, even though they're big guys, they kind of play below the rim. They don't get the same sort of publicity, right? I mean, Blake Griffin's on TV every 2 seconds, and I don't think he's better than either one of those guys, and they all play the same
Not
position.
At all.
But the fact
yeah.
of the matter is, to the masses, he seems excited.
Shout out to Andy.
Shout
out to Andy Flint from Sports Kings. He said he's not even better than Anthony Davis right now.
Yeah, he definitely didn't say that.
Yeah.
Shout out to Andy. But, it's sad to say that, though, but it's like being fundamentally sound and being a solid player, this doesn't get you what it used to. You know, now we want to see the highlight guys. We want to see Blake Moskoff people, because that's a verb now. But,
yeah.
Yeah, the LaMarcus Aldridge is amazing, man. Love to have him on my team.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, and, you know, shout out to Jordan Crawford. That's about all you get. Kobe returned this week. Now, there was a lot of hype around this return. I mean, of course, we all know how they feel about Kobe over in SoCal. he had a 2-minute video that he posted on his Facebook page. This was the way that they announced that he was coming back. And I don't know if you guys saw it, but for the listeners out there who didn't see it, just go to Kobe Bryant's Facebook page. It's a 2-minute video where you just see his jersey getting beat up by all the elements, rainstorms, thunderstorms, snow, hurricanes, all kinds of stuff like that. And then at the end, the sun comes out, miraculously sews up the slit in the middle of the jersey, and the words come across the screen, "The legend continues." That's how we actually titled this episode of the War Room this evening. That's where we got that from. The legend continues. So they did all of this in the pregame, after pregame warm-ups, right before the player introductions. They did another video of Kobe. You know how they do the thing now where they drop the little sheer sheet and they use it as a projector in the middle of the arena. They did a whole Kobe tribute then announced him, and then Kobe commenced to scoring 9 points. After all the hype. What have you guys thought of his two games back so far? He had 9 points, eight assists, and 8 turnovers in the first game. He had 20 points against the Suns, but both games were losses. What do you guys think of his performance?
What I noticed is the team starting to do what they do and sit around and watch him instead of playing the way they were playing. Because the Lakers, in my opinion, were overachieving while he was out. But now that he's back, they're, like, doing a lot of watching. He's obviously rusty. I mean, he's almost 40. He's a man. He's not, like, a young kid, you know.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
But at the end of the day, he still shows that he has the game. He has the ability to still, play at a high level, I think. Now, for how long, I don't know. No one has ever beaten Father Time. I don't care how great of a player you are. We've seen the best of the best. No one's beating Father Time, so
when Father Time comes at you with an Achilles injury.
This is true.
They don't mix.
This is true. Father Time got a mean arsenal. He got a mean arsenal with him, so he will make you tap out. But give him a couple weeks. Let's see. I'm not really judge at the two games, but it looked better the second game than the first. I mean, it ain't hard to beat, but still.
Yeah, I think he'll get. I think he'll gradually get better. What do you think, Frank?
I agree with pretty much everything Jimmy said. I mean, I think you're starting to see sort of like the Bulls were early in the season with D. Rose back, where before he was back last year, they were kind of moving the ball more, and now that Kobe's back in the game, all of a sudden it becomes a little player watching, and Kobe wants the ball, obviously, because he's Kobe. I mean, the only thing, they did have a pretty good substitute in Nick Young, though, so it kind of got them used to playing with Kobe, because Nick Young's going to get the ball, he's going to shoot it. I mean, the one thing that I thought the video was completely ridiculous, but the one thing I've enjoyed is all these parody videos that have come out. I don't know if you guys saw the Jazz put out a very similar video because Marvin Williams was coming back into the lineup, and they were a spoof of the Kobe return. You gotta see that if you haven't seen it yet. It's hilarious.
Oh, I didn't even know about that. That's nonsense. Marvin Williams, for real? Yeah, but
it was over the top, though. It was definitely over the top. I mean,
I really expected more when I watched it, man. That was a waste of 2 minutes of my life. I'm never going to get those minutes back. Like, you just sat there and watched the jersey blow in the wind and in the rain. And like,
they should have did none of that. They should have not let him start. And then as he made his way to the scores table, they should have just, came out like... I mean, because it was like so anticlimactic. I mean, all that, and then my man was turning the rock over the first three times on the court.
The good thing about it, though, so far is even though he's working gradually back into shape. Even though we did say, those guys out there watching at times, he's not taking a bunch of shots. Not yet.
That's true.
Yeah.
It's probably coming in game three, but he's not taking a bunch of shots yet. So he actually is trying to keep these guys involved. But it's like when he's around, people don't want to be involved any longer. I think they feel more pressure. Like, if you give me the ball and I miss too many shots, you're going to be upset. And I didn't have to deal with that 2 weeks ago.
I did say preseason that if the Lakers could stay around 500 until Kobe got back, they would make the playoffs, and I think I'm going to stick with that. I mean, I think the Lakers are a playoff team with Kobe.
I think they should. Speaking of that, Pau Gasol, he's leaving the door open. I mean, I don't even know why it's even relevant, but he's leaving the door open because he's going to be a free agent after the season. it's possible that he would go back to Memphis and play and try to play with his brother. How do you guys think that would work out?
I think it would be great. Memphis would be dangerous with the Gasol, because obviously, I mean, they play with each other on
chemistry.
The Spanish national team, so they have, they have all kinds of chemistry.
Let him
go
Powell now.
Give
us
Z-Bo. Around his brother.
Give us
Z-Bo. He's like, go ahead. Roll out.
Let him go now.
No, yeah,
give us Z-Bo.
I think Powell would play with more heart if he was playing with his brother. You get that.
Yo,
you get that heart.
I told you the other day, I just don't understand Powell. Powell at times has the ability to look like one of the top 10 players in the world, and the other times he looks like, yo, why is he even in the league? Like, he has games where he just, like, is totally out of it. Like, his mind is – I think Powell has female problems or something, man. Because, like, when everything's good at home, you know what I'm saying? When he's getting a lot of yams and she's taking care of him and cooking for him, everything's good at home, Powell's playing well. When they start arguing and carrying on, like, his mind's not there. That's got to be what it is. Because there's games you watch and you're like, yo, what is he doing? He gets pushed off the block by inferior players. He just gets chumped. Like, it must be it's a female, yo. I've come to that conclusion. That's what it is.
Yeah, Powell listens to Drake. I don't think there's any any doubt in that.
Yeah,
Powell listens to Drake.
Yeah, he's definitely a sensitive player. Powell, on the
Zach Randolph front, Jim. They're trying to decide whether they're going to pick up his option for next season, which is $16.5 million. So this could really, this could possibly go down, because if they just don't want to be on the hook for that much money, they can probably try to sign Powell. He's not going to demand anywhere near $16 million at 33 years of age. So,
Frank,
possibly happen.
Frank, you think at times, like, you know, they'll catch Powell, like, in the house, like
Powell too.
When I'm alone in my room, sometimes I think.
Yeah, I think Powell goes through that time too, man. Like,
back in my mind, I hear my brother call.
Yeah, that's got to be the softest song ever. Yo, all the sensitive songs that ever came out, that's the most sensitive song ever, y'all.
Yo, but I love it. LF came out hard as hell, was making love songs. Made the first ever hip-hop love song. It's a classic.
I thought that, man. All
right,
I still love that Kobe's been out of the league for the whole season, yet he leads the All-Star balloting in the Western Conference.
Oh, yeah.
It just goes to show you his popularity.
Yeah, because he's like second to Durant, and, of course, on the Eastern side is LeBron and then Paul George, which is exciting because it seems like overnight, we saw what Paul George did in the playoffs and then the finals, and everybody seems to be a believer to the point where he can even do well in these popularity contests called All-Star voting. So that's pretty interesting there. Well, before we talk about this whole Pacers Heat thing, do you guys think that, or not do you guys think, but who do you think has a chance to debut in an All-Star game this season? Who's going to take that next step and get into an All-Star game? Or is it going to be locked and reserved this year for All-Star veterans?
Last year it was
like Kyrie Irving and Drew Holiday. Who else made it for the first time last year? Was Paul George in the All-Star game last year?
Paul George made it last year, I think, yeah.
Yeah, Paul George did.
Yeah. So, the East had a lot of newbies over there last year. Who could break through this season, or is it just a logjam with the people that's already, who's already made it?
My mind is Damian Lillard. I think he could definitely make an All-Star team, especially with Portland's success. So I think he can break through. I mean, the other name, even though he made the All-Star team last year, but only because of an injury, I think he can actually legitimately make an All-Star team this year would be Brook Lopez, because he's playing out of his mind.
All right, what do you think
about
Anthony Davis if healthy?
I think he might find it tough because of – it depends how much
missing
time he misses.
Time.
But I definitely think if
he
comes back in time, yeah.
Right. What about Boogie Cousins?
Yo, get Boogie out of here. Chill.
No Boogie Cousins. You see, they might not show up for the All-Star game shoot around.
Shout out to Andy again from Sports King Joe, because now Boogie Cousins, because of his infatuation with Boogie Cousins, those two are synonymous.
Yeah. They text.
All right, so,
oh, good.
Like, nah, but no, nothing for Cousins? No love for Cousins?
No love for Cousins, yo.
Yo, what's the Kings record?
I don't know. This is an individual award,
that.
Man.
Yo, you cannot be an all-star when your team's 6-15. Get that out of here.
What were the Cavs record last year when Kyrie made it?
I didn't think Kyrie should make it.
What about John Wall?
I can see John Wall.
All right, well, we got a few minutes left. I was just trying to scour and think of some names. But we got a few minutes left. Let's talk about this whole Indiana Pacers-Miami Heat thing. Of course, they had their round one the other night. Miami looked to be handling them pretty well early in the game, and the Pacers made their comeback and beat the defending champs. Do you guys see this as – does it mean anything? I mean, I know it's meaningless, and you know, when you look at the records and how much time is left in the season, but does it mean anything going forward when these teams face off in the playoffs? Do you think that whatever is happening now could possibly become a trend for the Pacers? Or
I want to see what Oden can do. I know that sounds crazy as hell, but the Miami Heat are one of the luckiest teams, and that signing of Oden, that could end up making a huge difference because They were like dominating in the beginning, and they called a timeout, and like David West had a couple words with his team, and that was it. Like, they got dominated on the inside. I could swear, like, when they called timeout, and they had like a microphone over there, and David West made one comment to his team.
You are now about to witness the strength of street knowledge.
and at that point, that was it. They start killing these guys in the paint, so. You know, I want to see what Oden does. It's crazy to say that Oden can make a difference, but I really believe that. I really believe that.
I mean, I see what you're saying is because Miami seems to be one of the teams that has a lot of trouble with Roy Hibbert. Roy Hibbert plays great against the Miami Heat, and if Oden could come in and just be a defensive presence, a presence on the board, and things like that, then this could be a very, very interesting playoff series when it comes to that. See, that's what we have to talk about when we talk about these guys, because there's only two teams in the Eastern Conference worth their salt right now. So
yeah. We're
just looking past the regular season. Like, when these two teams meet in the playoffs, because they're probably going to rest Oden, you know, until the end of the season. I think they're going to make him practice, keep him in shape, and just rest him till playoff time because they know he probably will only have about 20 games in him. So
I think
that's a good
point
to me.
Yeah, I think it's one of those games where it means a lot more to the Pacers than it did to the Heat. You know, if the Pacers win this game, you know, they kind of have that confidence in the playoffs. I mean, I think they already have that confidence. I think the Pacers fully believe they can hang with the Heat already, especially after last season's playoff series, but you know, if Miami were to win that game, I don't think it would mean that much to them or to either side because of the confidence the Pacers already have from last season. But I just think beating the Heat in the regular season just builds on that confidence.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, I definitely think both teams wanted to win the game. But I think it's for different reasons, though. Like you guys said, like, wanted to win this game, but if they lose the game, it's really no sweat because we know what we can do. You know, when the moment is right. But I think they wanted to win the game just so they didn't have to hear all the BS about Indiana being better than them. They didn't want to hear Indiana mouthing off and stuff like that. Indiana had totally different motives. Like, they're still trying to benchmark themselves against this team. So, you know, any win they can get from the Heat, especially in a comeback game, you know, it's just a confidence builder for them. The Heat, like, it's just like, all right, man, let's win this game so we ain't got to hear everybody's mouth. Because that's all they did,
hear everybody's mouth
until they
But the way they were getting crushed, like, and it wasn't just Hibbert. It was, like, David West. It was, like, Scola came in, like, I mean, and people have been saying for a while that's their weakness. Like, you know, the way they don't really have any big men to bang. I mean, they brought in Birdman. He does what he does, but that's it. I mean, you got Joel Anthony, like, seriously? Like, yeah. They, I mean, they start with Bosch at the five. I mean, and Bosch is, like, Bosch is softer than Manny Pacquiao singing. Like, so he's not gonna bang with anybody. Bosch is in there. So it's like, if you're starting with Bosch at the five, like, you're already at a disadvantage. And Indiana is one of those teams that just happens to have, they're built like an old-school team. I mean, a lot of teams play small ball these days, but the Pacers have real size, and they can play big ball. I mean, so it's like they match up well with the Heat. I mean, last year they gave them everything, you know, everything they can handle.
Right.
It's just that the Heat have the X factor known as LeBron James. And as long as they have him, you know.
They have the long story short is I think the Pacers, it was so close last year, and I think the Pacers are a little better of a team this year than they were last year, and I think Miami's a little bit worse of a team than they were last year. So I think that gap is just getting closer and closer.
Yep, I
agree. I mean, but the league, especially the Eastern Conference, is so bad now that the Heat can basically coast through the season, still get a top two seed, while resting everybody who needs to get rest. Like, Dwayne Wade only comes out for big games now. I mean, that's why, you know, you can tell they did want to win this game because, you know, they could easily have the excuse that we didn't have Wade. They could sit him down, and if they lose, they have that excuse. But, you know, they bring him out against the big guns, and I don't know. It's interesting. I'm not one to write off the Heat. I've seen what they can do. You know, once it gets deep into the playoffs or deep into the season and they want to flip that proverbial switch that everybody talks about, you know, they're one of the people, you know, when you use that cliche, they actually have a switch, and I've seen them use it. So I'm not ready to count them
like
out yet.
Like my man Andy Flint would say, they do have that switch, and his name is LeBron James. Turn the LeBron James switch on.
So sometimes and they've shown this the last two seasons while winning championships. There have been teams, Indiana, Spurs, that match up well against them, probably have an advantage in the matchups. But it doesn't matter sometimes when you have, you know, LeBron James playing with, you know, two other guys who are some of the top players in the league. Like, come on, you have the greatest player.
But you know, it's like
on
you only
can
go to the well so many times.
With two sidekicks.
because Indiana matches up well, and like they're a good team overall team because the beginning, like, Paul George wasn't playing well, and they still like held it down. They're a solid all around team, like, you know. So
but you know why Paul George can afford that, Jimmy? Because Paul George is one of those rare. I don't know, is he a superstar yet? I don't know if I want to call him.
Yeah,
he is. Maybe.
Oh, he
all right,
is.
Well, I'll say it. He's one of those rare superstars that's a two way player. So even when his shot is not falling, he's going to contribute to the game because he's guarding LeBron James, he's guarding Dwayne Wade, and he's making it difficult for those guys while he's struggling.
And but the thing
his
is,
shot actually
what
came on
me,
in the second half. So
what impressed me is he didn't get frustrated. He came back in the second half and was giving them dudes handles. He gave them everything they wanted, man. Like,
whoever's out of hand, I'm going to give them handles. Light them up, blow them out like candles.
And he ended up having a good game, you know what I mean? Like, so he's not afraid. He's that guy.
Right,
plus, the other thing about the Miami Heat is they have that first ballot Hall of Famer, Ray Allen, on the roster, too.
With that being said, man, let's just end the show right there. We're going to leave it at that, man. We got to get out of here. Listen, thanks for joining us again in the War of Good People. Shout out to the people in the chat room on Facebook, Twitter. We had one caller that got through. For the rest, we couldn't get to because of so many topics. We apologize. Call us next week. Big thanks to Fred Perdue for, as usual, giving us the college sports. And Frank Santos of the sports-kings.com for help piloting this shit with us. Tune in next week. Same time, same place for more great sports talk. We'll be talking to the host of Ranked Top 5 Sports Talk in Chicago. Right, we're going to have a Philadelphia-Chicago wager on the upcoming Eagles-Bears game. So you don't want to miss that when we talk our trash. Until then, enjoy your week. We'll see you right back here next time. Be sure to catch our conversations. That's Facebook.com/WarroomSports, Twitter.com/WarroomSports. Watch all of our videos, WarroomSportsTV.com. As we always say, everybody, don't accept mediocrity and be steadfast in the war against ignorance. We shall see you chumps on top.
Hey.
Jimmy, know the blueprint.
Yo,
every Thursday, 6 to 8, they do this. Shout out to Dez, PJ, Be Austin, Doc Bay on replay. WarRoomSports.com. Get that mobile app. It's not dialed.
Call it
323 Swooping 0012. They be going and you sensitive, then oh well.
Yeah.
Physical podcast, let's talk sports. Showtime like magic in the block push.
Magic.
Listen live, push one to join in. Rip your team or listen for your enjoyment. Hip-hop dollars, pit stop and knowledge. Should be in sports credits, I ain't talking college. Five guys, no beef though. Corporate secrets, but the streets know. Belafonte, I got a G-flow. KC, royalty, I'm in beast mode. 2 hours, get your game up. Who's the best in sports cap, you better name us. War Room Sports.
War Room Sports, www.warroomsports.com. What? Ain't no more to it.